Upgrade the intensity. More intensity.
More intensity.
More intensity.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multi-Amory Podcast. Bombs I know I did. False and made up for myself to fit. On this episode of the Multi-Amory Podcast, we are falling in love with each other.
Aww.
Aww.
That sounds
sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
Haven't we already been there, done that?
Well, okay, sure. But what we're doing is we're specifically talking...
Now we're forcing each other to fall in love with each other.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
We're forcing ourselves to fall in love with each other by using the 36 questions to fall in love with anybody.
Yeah, so some people may have seen this. This got a lot of press, particularly in the New York Times. There was
a couple
an article
years ago.
That was... And all the headlines were like... If you want to fall in love with somebody, then ask them these questions. Or if you want to get married to whoever, then ask these questions. And so, of course, it was a little clickbaity, but the questions themselves and the article itself was really fascinating.
Yeah. And so, just to give you a little explanation of the reason for doing this episode, there's a number of things. So, first of all, this week has been a particularly rough one at Multi-Amory headquarters. We've had some difficult stuff to deal with, not with each other, luckily, but just in general. Plus, on top of that, Dedeker has been super sick for a few days. She was not, as you know from last week's episode, she was not able to record because she was sick.
Because I was like, riding
she was
around
coughing
in the bedroom,
up a lung.
Like, coughing up my lungs.
Yeah. So anyway, we decided that we wanted to do something that was a little bit lighter-hearted and a little more positive and a little more, you know, touchy-feely good.
Mm-hmm. And I think something that's also important for us is we do like having the occasional opportunities to share ourselves and our stories with our listeners a little bit more. And it's funny because we've actually gotten compliments for not talking about ourselves too much. And that is something that I want to keep the show being that it's not just all about our drama or whatever the heck's going on. However, there was this really funny incident a couple weeks ago on the polyamory.
So this was like months ago.
Okay, fine, months
like a year ago.
Yeah, it was
maybe.
Months.
On the
I
polyamory
don't know, maybe not a year, but yeah.
Subreddit where somebody made this post that was like, oh my god, I just found out that Jace and Emily of Multi-Amory aren't together anymore. Oh my god, I'm so sad. Like, I had no idea. This is just like when Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter broke up. And of course, I was like, Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter broke up? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know either, and I was very sad about that. But yeah, I love that we have, like, relative fame on Reddit.
To the tabloids, you know. And also, at that point, that was, like, such old news. Like, you guys have been broken up for so long
like a year,
at that point.
And, like,
But
so,
I realized, I was like, because we don't spend so much time talking about our personal lives in great detail, unless you're like part of our patron group or unless you're one of our friends outside of the podcast, you actually, or if you've been listening maybe very, very religiously from the very beginning, there may be some details about us that you actually don't know.
Sure. I mean, there's still a lot of places out there or times when we'll be interviewed where the assumption is always that the three of us are a triad.
Oh, yeah, always.
Yeah.
Because they hear polyamory and they see three people, specifically two women and a man, and they go, oh, of course, that's got to be what it is.
Oh, of course. Those ladies are bisexual and that guy's
and
just getting everything. Yeah.
Right. So it is kind of nice to take this opportunity to, I don't know, give a little bit of clarity about some things about us, share a little bit, and then also to explore these questions. Because,
I mean, I think these questions are around because they kind of create this intimate space for people to just sort of dive into. And the New York Times article, too, talked about that and about, like, how it just creates that intimate and vulnerability right away. But I think the thing is, like, intimacy often means only romantic or sexual relationships, and that doesn't need to be the case, because we're three very close friends outside of the sexual or romantic relationship we've ever had with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yeah, from the relationship anarchy side of things, you could use these questions to become more intimate with a friend, for example, or even a family member or anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I really like asking these questions of partners. Sometimes I've gone through these questions with really, really new partners where I've only known this person or been dating this person for a couple months, and sometimes revisit it with partners that I've been with for a very long time. And
yeah,
it's always a really, really good, really fascinating exercise. I've yet to do it with any friends. I would love to do
though. Absolutely.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny,
though.
We're about to.
It doesn't feel that way, though.
I know, right?
That's the weird thing.
And that is something that I don't want this episode to all be a big rant about relationship anarchy or something like that. But I do think there's something to that. The fact that you know, say like, my relationship with Emily doesn't feel like just a friend. And it's all based in this idea that a friend is somehow lesser. That it's just a friend versus a romantic partner, which we are taught is a higher thing, is a more serious thing, is a higher priority thing. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And so we're going to do these questions round robin style. We're not going to do all 36.
Yeah, crowd take forever.
Seriously, like Dedeker and I did.
They're really long.
They're divided into three sections.
Three tiers, as it were.
Three sets, actually.
Okay.
Three sets of 12 that get kind of progressively a little bit deeper, a little bit heavier, you know, start out a little bit lighter. So what we're going to do is we're going to take turns asking each other these questions, and we're going to do a couple from tier 1, and then a couple from tier 2, and then a couple from tier 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the setup for the episode.
Yep.
Are you ready to get into this?
I'm a little bit scared.
I know, me too.
And
we encourage you guys out there to do this as well.
Yeah, give it a try. Also,
we'll put it in the show notes.
Just
a link to this.
Just so everyone knows in the audience, we don't know what questions each other are going to ask yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've not prepared this in advance.
Yeah.
We've each picked our questions but didn't tell each other.
Oh, God. Here we go.
All right, Em.
Wait, but I'm first.
Yeah.
Well, you're asking me first.
Okay, Dedeker.
Okay.
This is from set 1, and this is question number 10. Not that we need to say those, but it is for anyone who's following along. If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
That one's hard for me because, I mean, there were definitely things that I grew up with and the way that I was raised that weren't great or fun or awesome, but at the same time, they helped shape me into who I am today. Like, the first thing that usually comes to mind is like, I wish that I hadn't been raised super evangelical Christian, but then at the same time, that's been a part of the reason why I'm not right now. And so, like, if I hadn't been raised Christian, I don't know where I would be now. I think... Gosh. But if it's not going to be the religion one, I keep second guessing everything because at first I'm like, maybe it would have been nice to be raised with two parents in my household. But even then it's like, yeah, but that also taught me like a lot of independence and I definitely got a lot from my mom and a lot of self-sufficiency. And so that's good. I'm just gonna bow out on this one, I guess. I'm sorry if that's a boring answer.
Wait, what? You just bow out? Answer it?
I don't. Sorry, I'm being a really bad question answerer.
It's okay. It's about being vulnerable.
Okay.
And expressing your indecision is part of being vulnerable.
Okay, fine. I have it. I finally have it. I think that where I would land is that actually, I think I would prefer that I was raised with better models of conflict resolution. And I feel like actually that applies to a lot of people because often the communication models we get from our parents are not the best, usually. So like I feel like in my life now, being in relationships, I've had to deprogram a lot of what I saw growing up as of what was considered acceptable for handling fights or arguments or disagreements. So, yeah, that's what I go with. Sorry, I'm no longer boring anymore. I'm back to being interesting. The cough syrup's
You're
kicking
so
in.
You're so interesting.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
For sure.
Thank you. Now I need to ask you a question.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Okay, Jace. When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else? Kind of different intensities in these questions.
Yeah,
but they're from the same set. I don't know.
Right, so when you're going through all of them, you know, there's kind of little breaks for some lighter ones in between some of the heavier ones.
Yeah, totally.
It's also interesting, too, how one question for one person could be super heavy, and for another person could be light and fun. Like, that's also part of what's interesting about this.
Definitely.
Right? Like, you know, like some of the questions in here about parents and stuff like that, it's like depending on someone's history and their upbringing, like they could be really heavy or those could just be like light and fun. So it's a really interesting set of questions.
Okay, but you're not answering my question. I want to
know I'm totally
the
avoiding
last time
it.
That you sung to yourself or to somebody else.
Okay.
And don't lie because I know the answer to this.
Okay, so for some reason, I don't know why this has come upon me this past week or so, but I've been making up a lot of songs lately and singing them to Dedeker.
Well, you were a composer. You were a composition
like, you
major.
You are probably one of the more qualified people to make up songs. Like, Jace, what, you got, like, a degree in musical composition?
Yes, correct. My bachelor's degree is in music composition.
Another fun piece of trivia.
And I wrote a whole album, and that's out there in the world.
You wrote a like little
it's
symphonic
on Spotify.
Piece as well, right?
Yeah, actually, my album.
Yeah, Jace's
on Spotify,
album is on Spotify,
which is crazy to me.
Oh my god, everyone, go get it!
Oh gosh,
maybe
don't drag that one out of the past.
Anyway, that was like 10 years ago or something that I did that, and after that point, I kind of stopped doing much music, like still playing music and playing in bands, and Emily and I put out a little like EP of covers that we did, and I still love karaoke, as any fans of the show know. But I kind of like hit this weird block of not being able to write music and not wanting to, like kind of just being squicked by the whole thing.
But fast forward to today.
Fast forward
and
to
the
now.
Question. Fast forward to right now when we're asking you. Sorry if this is something that's surprisingly deep for you and bringing up some trauma.
It's actually weirdly deep. So I somehow just kind of been like making up these little songs and singing them.
I think because I've been filled with so much misery recently
that's
that
true.
You've
been
trying to
cheer you up. Yeah, that's definitely part
of
it.
That's weird.
Right now, you know, for example, we're staying in a very small apartment in Hong Kong, because that's how apartments go in Hong Kong. And the kitchen is like one person wide and kind of goes a couple people deep, I guess. But so if you're in there and another person tries to go in the kitchen with you, you can't get around each other.
You can't get
and
out
the other
of the
person
kitchen.
Can't get out. And as a way of sort of like diffusing the potential frustration of this situation, I made up this little country song that's like two people in a one person kitchen.
Well, that was our cold open for the last episode,
yeah,
right?
Was,
that Mauricio
yeah.
caught us singing.
You walk in, it means I can't get out.
It got extrapolated to like two people in a one person bathroom.
Because the bathroom's the same thing.
It's also the case here.
Right? What was that one? It's like, I'm trying to pee, but now you're brushing your teeth or like whatever. Anyway.
Wow. This is very beautiful.
Right?
But then Dedeker was feeling really bad the other day, and I made up a little song about, like, essentially about cuddling, because we learned this Japanese word, skinship, or skinshipu, which means, you know, skin and relationship combined into a word, which the Japanese love to do.
So it's like their word for like physical affection.
It just means like physical affection, physical touch. Like if you say like, oh, on the date there was no skinship, means like we didn't touch at all. Like we didn't hold hands.
See, and I
or
thought
we
it meant.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I just said, and you guys were grossed out by this, but I was like, I thought that it meant that like there was a Zeppelin made out of skin or something.
God, I mean, it does bring that to mind.
It didn't.
Well, you said skin shit
until then. But anyway, so I was cuddling with her and made up this little song about like, you know, two people coming together and sailing away on the good ship, skin ship. I don't know.
It was kind of an 80s ballad, right?
Kind of like Jefferson Starship,
right,
but kind
right.
of a little sci-fi-ish, a Jefferson Skinship.
See? It went out to me. Oh, God. Okay.
Anyway.
Beautiful.
Is the question answered?
That's the answer
okay,
to the question.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, God.
Hooey. Okay, cool. It's my
tier two.
My turn.
Tier
okay, we're on to tier two.
Yeah,
we're on
yeah.
to tier two here.
Upgrade the intensity. More okay. intensity.
More intensity.
More intensity.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. Okay, what?
Okay. All right. I don't know if this one's going to be heavy or not. I'm curious about it. Emily, if you mm-hmm. knew, if you knew that in one
oh.
year...
This was one I was going to ask you, so or the
oh,
next
shit.
Person. So I'm not going to now.
I don't know, you could, unless
no,
you have
I'm
a good backup
just
one.
Just do it. Keep going. Okay.
I do.
If you knew that in one year you would die suddenly, would
yeah.
you change anything about the way you are living right now, and why?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I am definitely a workaholic. Like I work. At one point, I worked maybe five jobs,
yeah,
and three
right.
of them were restaurant jobs, mm-hmm. and one of them was this podcast, and they're, like, all, you know, really intense jobs, and then I was doing a musical at the same time, and just, like, all of this shit.
Right.
So I think I would probably quit some jobs, try to... travel more, try to, you know, maybe move to New York because I've always wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, fuck it, you know, take out a credit card or whatever and be like, bye. Yeah. Yeah, which is interesting. And yeah, try to be in more plays, try to, mm-hmm. you know, do stuff that I really want to do.
Could have been very busy
last
year.
I work too damn much. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, move
for
to
sure.
work, travel, do plays.
Do plays,
yeah.
all
but
those
not
things.
Work.
But no
work. Not do all the jobs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to, like, sustain myself in some way, sure, but right. not to...
Yeah, but yeah. if you're dying and you get to leave all the credit card debt to somebody else, like...
Exactly. It's like, fuck it, who cares? Like, I'll max out that shit. I got great credit. Like, they'll throw me a bunch of cards. No one has to know I'm about to expire.
It's a plan.
Do you suppose anyone has, like... done, like, a Kickstarter for, like, their last year to live or something like that?
Oh, sure.
Fascinating. Maybe.
Right? Or a GoFundMe.
Live my last year.
I mostly read about people doing scams of
well,
that
sure.
on Kickstarter.
Scams that they're dying?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, scams that they're dying, like, just to try
need,
to get money.
And need money for medical
yeah,
coverage or something.
Yeah.
Mm, that sucks.
I mean, there's plenty of legitimate
yeah.
Fun, you know, campaigns on Kickstarter for that, but
right.
I feel like
well,
most recently I was reading about people just trying to scam money out of people.
Like, for example, Tegan of the church fame
mm-hmm.
just asked me to be, like, part of a D&D campaign
mm.
with a bunch of people who, like, had never played before, and I was like, I don't have time to do that. Like, I barely have time to, like, do anything. Like, I just worked, by the time Saturday hits, I will have worked 21 days in a row without
which
a break.
Freaking
and,
ridiculous.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
And then I have one day off, so it's just, yeah.
Well, this is actually...
I don't have time to do anything.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on adammail.com and evestoys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love adamandeve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to adamandeve.com, adammail.com, or evestoys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I, at adamandeve.com, adammail.com, or evestoys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code M-U-L-T-I.
Okay, so now it's my turn, Jace, to ask you a question.
Okay.
And this one I'm very interested to hear because you have done a lot of things. A lot of things. And been a lot of people.
Jeez.
Been a lot of people in almost 35 years of life. Mm. So, my question is this. What is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Hoo-wee. The greatest accomplishment or achievement or what's the...
It literally says, what is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Accomplishment.
So I don't know. Okay. Whatever that means to you.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean... I know it sounds ridiculous to say it here. Like, I kind of want to say this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured you might.
Well, okay, like... Yeah, like
I'm assuming Dedekers would be our book.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know.
I've done a lot of stuff, right? I've done a lot of different things. I've been a lot of different people, as Emily said, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was like the top up and coming hairstylist in Seattle, mm-hmm. and I've been in a lot of different bands, and I made an album, and I was, you know, like selected as the senior in college to have my orchestra piece performed by the orchestra. When
did you like get Emmy nominated or something? Or VFX Awards nominated also?
Yeah, I worked for a company that got nominated for Effects Society Award for Man in the High Castle. Right? So I've done some things. I'm definitely proud of those things. But I kind of feel like this podcast is the thing that's both my own... And by that, I mean, like, I was part of creating it. It's not like I was working for mm-hmm. a company that was recognized mm-hmm. or I was at a school that did this thing. But that, you know, I was one of the people who started this with the two of you. But then also, I guess, just that it's something that, especially over time, like, have seen how much it matters to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to hear stories, you know, whether it's in reviews that they've written or just messages that they've sent to us, or even like out of nowhere, like personal messages that I'll get from like old college friends or other friends who I had no idea even listened to the podcast or whatever, you know, coming to me and you know, or telling us about the way that the stuff we've talked about on this podcast has really helped them to work through something or has opened their eyes up to some stuff that they'd been struggling with but never knew there were other options for. Or I don't know, like I guess I've kind of always had this dream since I was a kid of doing something that would like affect the world, I guess. And as a kid I thought I was going to be an inventor. I was really into Thomas Alva Edison and like thought it would be like I would invent something, right? I'm not inventing anything. But no,
you
but
invented
like
a song about tiny kitchens.
I did invent a song about tiny kitchens. Yeah. Yeah. I also have a song about tiny dogs. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
tiny things apparently is inspiring to me. but anyway, yeah, just to make this podcast, even though I'm not naive enough to think that this is changing the world per se, but it's changed some people's lives a little bit. And so, yeah, I feel like it's this podcast. I know that sounds like dumb and cheesy to say on this show, aww, but I think that's my answer. That's my truth.
That's great.
That's my truth.
That's great.
I think it's nice to create something that then goes on to become its own thing. Sorry, that's made no freaking sense. I guess to create something that then goes on to get a life of its own, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
That this podcast has become something that's not here just because we're coming to the table every week to record it, but because many people are involved and many people are engaged and many people are tuning in and talking about it and taking part in the community. And I think it's that part. It's that it's not just I created this thing, but it's this thing is also thriving and continuing on and growing.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is very exciting. Yeah. Aw.
Hooey.
Yay. That's good.
We're graduating to tier three now.
Now we're on tier three. This is it. So, I've been debating between a few different questions to ask you, Dedeker. This is tricky. Something I do want to point out about these questions is that they use the word partner a lot, and it means like your exercise partner not necessarily like your partner, because I do want to emphasize that this doesn't have to be a romantic partner or something like that.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely some stuff where it's like, tell your partner this or respond to what you think this about your partner or something like that. But I actually think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this one, which is to share with your partners an embarrassing moment in your life.
I knew you were going to go.
Oh, God!
All of Utopia.
Interesting. Is that really what comes up for you first when you think that? I never knew that. I didn't know that was how you, that's the reaction you would have.
I don't know. It's a mix of emotions, specifically around Utopia, of just being really exposed, and not necessarily bad way of feeling exposed, but also some really uncomfortable ways of being exposed that I don't necessarily regret, but that's how I felt. But to not just fall back on that, to go with another embarrassing moment, geez, I feel like all of my embarrassing moments I kind of just sequester away and try to never think about them again, so sometimes it's hard for me to recall them.
Well, you did say just a couple episodes ago that you never make mistakes.
Exactly.
So,
no, she said that quite a few episodes ago, but that's the one that we're transcribing, so we've had it on our mind.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's why it's fresh on my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, that she's the perfect one.
Yeah.
I accidentally called Ellen DeGeneres once.
Oh yeah, I have
heard this story. Can you tell us the story?
Oh my god, I have such a good one for this.
Maybe
I want to answer this embarrassing
story round.
Do it a bonus round
of embarrassing stories.
Oh my god.
Okay, tell us about how you almost called Ellen DeGeneres. I want to hear Emily's story too.
I used to work for a woman. I was a personal assistant to.
A Hollywood person.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know if I can mention her name. I think it's okay to mention her name. I wouldn't be mentioning anything that isn't public knowledge, but I'll just play it safe and not mention it. I was working for a person in Hollywood who used to be in a relationship with Ellen DeGeneres. And so, of course, that narrows down the list of who possibly could. But anyway, I was this person's personal assistant, and myself and the other assistant, she'd given us her phone to, do something with her contacts or fix something or clean up something. I don't know. We were fixing something on her phone. Okay. And while we were doing it, we accidentally called a number, and it just said Ed. It was E and lowercase d. And we were like, oh, Ed.
Who the fuck is Ed?
I wonder who that is, huh? And then
was it like you had called and not realized it was calling and the phone was just on while you were talking or something?
Yeah. Okay. Like we realized that the phone was on and we're like, Ed, I wonder who Ed is. Oh, whatever. That's weird. And then we kept doing what we were doing. And then she came in and the other assistant mentioned like, oh yeah, we got it all fixed up. And I mean, like we accidentally called someone named Ed. I don't know who that is. And she was like, you are kidding me. You didn't. Like you just called Ellen DeGeneres. And we're like, I don't think we said anything incriminating. I don't know how long this went on.
Oh my god!
I'm so sorry.
Oh my god!
Anyway, that was the end of that story.
Yeah. All right, Emily, tell us your story.
Yeah. No. Now we need to.
Oh god. Oh god. It also was involving a famous person. Okay. So I used to be a competitive figure skater, and I went to Ice Castle International Training Studio up in Lake Arrowhead, California, when I was a kid, just to, like, go, you know, train for a little while. It was, like, really for a weekend, and I took a couple cool lessons with some, like, very world-renowned people up there.
Uh-huh.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it was the training studio that Michelle Kwan trained at.
Nice.
And essentially, what happened, well, there were a couple embarrassing things that happened because she had like a clause or something at the time that she could only be photographed on the ice by specific things or specific companies. My mother, my mother, like, had a camera and right away her handlers ran up and were like, you can't take pictures. And so they were like threatening to rip the camera out of my mother's hands. So that was embarrassing. But what I did that was super embarrassing was I was stretching and like, you sometimes stretch by like throwing your leg up in the air like dancers do or whatever. And Michelle Kwan was like right behind me and she had to like do this and I had my skate on, by the way. And like a skate to the face is no fucking joke.
Oh,
so I did not hit her, but like there were people watching a bunch of shit. So that was the day I almost killed Michelle Kwan. And that is unquestionably
Oh,
boy. The most embarrassing thing I have.
Ellen DeGeneres and you almost accidentally killed Michelle Kwan. How old were you?
Yeah, exactly. I was like 10 or 11.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, it was real awful.
Do you have an embarrassing story now that we're on this track?
I feel like I'm embarrassed by like everything that I do.
I think
I'm embarrassed.
But there are so many times that we'll come home after an event or a workshop or a presentation or even our multi-Emory show or whatever, and they'll be like, it was horrible. It was so bad. Why did I do that?
Oh.
Why did I say that? No, it was, and I'm like, it's fine. People loved it. Like, you were great. So I totally understand you being embarrassed by everything.
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed?
That's
right
a
now?
Really good impression, Daddy. I'm impressed.
Shut. God damn it. Now I'm embarrassed right now by you two.
Sorry.
No, like I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed of my album.
I'm
embarrassed of like every piece of creative anything I've ever created. And sometimes I'm proud of them too, but I'm also embarrassed by them. I don't know. That's my thing.
No.
Stop it.
All right.
Okay, let's bring it home. Last question.
They should know so much about
God,
us now.
Oh, God, no. Jesus.
Okay, last question.
Oh, God.
Emily,
oh God.
I'm really curious about this one. Your house containing everything you own catches fire.
Mm.
After saving your loved ones and pets, you have time to safely make a final dash to save any one item. What would it be? Why?
I'm going to
say any one item for 50% off.
Promo code MULTI.
Use MULTI.
Okay, so house is on fire. Everybody, like all the living creatures are saved.
Yeah.
You can save an item.
She's looking around.
Looking around.
What would it be
around here? Because, like, you know, this laptop, I wouldn't want it to go. It has some cool stuff on there.
Yeah.
My phone, like, I know these are stupid things, but I don't have. Oh my god, my Nintendo Switch. Like that one.
I did not expect that it would be all electronics.
I know, but like, I mean, it's either that or like pieces of clothing that I love, but there's so many that I love. I couldn't just give one, like I just run back for one. You know, I've got like some Kate Spade dresses and Coach shoes and all this stuff. And I'm sorry.
Oh,
this makes me sound really, really materialistic.
What a good character portrait for all of us, though.
I can't
imagine people's impression of us now. Like, this is your first episode. You're listening to Multi-Amory. Yeah. Good lord.
I think they would have turned it off way before this.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well, anyways, I don't know.
I feel like... Okay, hang on, though. So, but if we...
Yeah.
If we added a caveat of, let's say you have your phone, like, let's just say, because everyone's glued to their phone these days.
How would you not have your phone on?
How would you not have your phone?
Right, obviously, I would, yeah.
So...
You've got your phone, and let's give a second one, which is that all of your data, like, on your computer, is in the cloud.
It's backed up.
So you're fine.
So you get a new computer.
Yeah, you've got insurance, whatever.
I mean, I would definitely, I guess the pets are in there, because
Emil
and Henry
have got
to be fine. I don't, like, there's no possession in my house. Oh my god, the Amiibos, no. But there's no, honestly, like, if I'm really honest with myself, because when I moved to when I moved to college, the car that was outside, like, was broken into that had all of my shit in it. And I lost, like, almost everything that day that I had brought to college. But insurance is an amazing thing, and I just was able to, you know, get a lot of it back because of insurance money. And I have renter's insurance on this place.
Right.
If it caught fire, like, there's literally nothing that I couldn't go without, honestly.
Well, I think this is really interesting, because I think for a lot of people, this question kind of brings up a lot of those, like, really sentimental items. It's like, oh, this is the last thing I got from my grandma before, you know, whatever.
Yeah, for me, with this question... When I've been asked in the past, like, it comes back to, like, the things that can't just be replaced or rebought.
Right. That's, like, I think that's the spirit of the question, right?
Is there anything? Yeah.
Well, I have, like, this beat-up, old-ass, dog-eared, highlighted, like, spine-ruined copy of Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman that I've had with me for years. And, like, it has all my favorite passages highlighted and, like, written in and scribbled in. And that's not replaceable. That's why it really bothers me that... When I'm traveling, I'm like, okay, I'll be space efficient and just, like, put Leaves of Grass on my freaking tablet. But it doesn't have everything in it, like, the way that I've, you know, marked it up and stuff like that. So, like, that's the thing that I would go for.
That's way better than mine.
Is it about the markings or the book itself?
It's about the markings. Like, I really want
to
get
Could you send the book to one of those scanning places?
Well, I want to get it rebound, actually.
Hmm.
Oh, I see.
That's what I want to do. Is just
you know the ones
rebound.
I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know that what you're talking about, but...
Right. They cut off the spine, they scan all the pages,
and
then you have
it on
your
Kindle. Physical copy
I see.
As well.
So that's what I was wondering, is how much of it's the sentimentality of it, and how much is actually just
I just want to get it rebound so it's not falling apart, but then I could still have, all that.
Yeah.
It's tricky, because I feel like I'm kind of with M. Like, I don't...
There's, like, no possession.
Well, it's hard right now because, especially because we're traveling and we have, like, nothing.
Yeah, but I'm including in this, like, all the stuff that's at my mom's house and my stepdad's house and my dad's house. If all of those houses were on fire at the same time and everyone was out and I could fly to one house and save one thing. Like, even then, it's like, there's definitely going to be stuff I'm going to be sad about, but I don't know if there's anything, like... Like Emily's saying, I don't know if there's anything that...
I don't know that there's anything so much of sentimental value that I have that I'd be like, oh my god, if I lost that, I don't know what I'd do. I just don't know. Which is interesting, because that calls into question, like, the nature of possessions in general. Like, if we don't have sentimentality about them, then, like, why have so many? And I should be asking myself this, considering I do have a lot of possessions.
Uh-huh.
And yet, like, you guys, over the last many, many years, have gotten rid of so much.
Well, for me specifically, this last year has been about that.
Yeah.
It's been this last year of purging everything.
Yeah, but, like, you know, my best friend, his house burned down when we were sophomores in college.
My best friend's house burned down, too, when we were sophomores in college. That's weird.
There you go. It's, like, the thing to do when you're sophomores. No.
I'm pretty sure we don't, but to be fair, I've never seen them in the same room together at the same time.
Mm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. he grabbed his cello, which makes sense. Or I think his parents grabbed his cello because he was in college. But yeah.
Right.
And that makes sense because that shit's like 30 grand.
No, but, totally. It's like, it comes down to this, know, like money.
Like your
thing.
Bass, yeah. Just maybe like your upright bass.
No, I thought about that at my stepdad's house. It's like, oh, my upright bass. But then it's like, but there's nothing special about that that's not replaceable,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, sure, it's like, It's we've been to some cool things together, but like, I don't know. Like,
me and my upright bass.
Me and this bass, but it's like, those are my memories. They're not.
You've seen some shit.
They're not the bass's memories. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, are we in love with each other yet?
I mean, I feel like.
I actually feel like I learned more about the two of you, which feels so surprising because I already feel like I know both of you so well, but.
Yeah, totally.
No, I definitely was. There have been moments in this of being surprised by both of your responses to things. And I think that's sort the fun of these questions, where it's sort of like, huh, I didn't expect that to go that way or something.
Yeah, so for those of you who do want to play along at home, we'll include a link in the show notes to the full list of 36 questions. The full exercise, they recommend you ask each other these 36 questions, you know, taking turns. So everybody answers each question, you know, both people do.
Yep.
And then at the very end, you stare at each other for 4 minutes straight without breaking eye contact, which that's something
that
happens in a lot of, you know, white tantra practices, and it's super intense.
So for the next 4 minutes of the podcast, you're going to hear silence while
we stare at each other. Or maybe we could all stare at the camera, so it's like we're staring at them.
Oh, and then they could watch the YouTube video.
We're staring into your soul.
Do it with us.
That'd be weird.
That'd be super weird.
Real weird.
Yeah. Well, and it wouldn't be the same effect because we couldn't see them staring at us.
Yeah.
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 Anyway. Go out, get intimate. I would actually love to hear from somebody who did this with a family member or with a friend, because I mean, these questions are intimate, but they don't get into like awkward, you know, sexual,
like sexual
things
stuff.
Totally. Or anything like that. No. They're pretty universal themes, so I don't think it would be really awkward to do with, you know, a family member, things like that.
Totally.
But it prompts the person who the question is being asked to think about stuff that maybe, you know, isn't constantly at the forefront of their mind.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Especially for a family member, I think that might be really interesting. To be like, mom or whomever, do you remember this?
Whatever. Like, you're in a situation where you can go a little deeper and it's not just like random, you know, out at dinner conversation. It's something where you're kind of really dedicated to having some one-on-one connecting time with somebody. I think it'd be
totally
cool for that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. Please feel free to reach out, get involved in the community by joining our Patreon, stuff like that. Also, if you have a particular question or something going on in your life that you would like us to talk about on the show, to give some thoughts about, you can call our phone number, which is 678-MULTI-05. 678-MULTI-05. That's the theme song. Anyway.
Cha.
Also, if you're international, you can leave us a voice message through Facebook by going to our Facebook page and sending us an audio message there. You can also email us at info@multiamory.com or send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And to support our show and to join our private Facebook group or to have a monthly video discussion with us, you can go to patreon.com/multiamory.
Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Emily Matlack, and me, Dedeker Winston. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP.